A gold shield with the letters WNB is shown across a blue sky dotted with white clouds. A gold band across the shield reads Warner Brothers Pictures. Glowing blue squares are out of focus on a black background. Executive decision. More squares in different shades of blue and green fill the screen and get smaller. Map of Europe comes into focus. A closer view takes over the screen, line by line, starting at the top. Then another view takes over in the same manner. Pink squares show the locations of cities in Italy, Slovenia, and Croatia. The city of Trieste is highlighted. It's nighttime outside an Italian villa. May 17, 1995, 15 miles outside Trieste, Italy, 5 o'clock Zulu. U.S. Army Special Forces Counter-Terrorist Strike Team. Team leader, Lieutenant Colonel Austin Travis. Target, suspected Chechen Mafia safe house. Objective, recovery of stolen Soviet nerve toxin DZ-5. Some men are wearing headsets and holding machine guns. One of them pulls out a knife and attacks a man from behind. The man next to him turns around and gets knifed as well. The knifer motions to the others and leads them up the lawn toward the villa. The leader is the first to arrive at the terrace. He leads the others up next to the villa, where two of them hurl grappling hooks over a wall and begin climbing. Another member of the strike team opens a door, and the others follow him through it with their guns ready. The climbers hoist themselves onto a balcony. The men who entered through the door creep toward the sounds of laughter and talking. One of the climbers attaches a black box to a double door. The leader enters a room and shoots people eating dinner.
Door front, go!
Explosion blows out the doors in a room where people are watching TV and some strike team members shoot them.
I'm covered, go.
The strike team sneaks into another room. A man with a rifle is coming up some stairs. The leader shoots him. Then he and his team walk down the stairs. One of the climbers shoots a man who falls over a wrought iron railing. Another soldier approaches a man tied to a chair.
All right?
I got him! Come on, clear the room!
A man walks in and shoots the soldier next to the chair, and one of the climbers shoots him. A small explosive is armed. The lock is blown off a door. The strike team enters the basement room.
It's empty.
One of the climbers joins the rest of the team and looks around the room.
Colonel Travis, we secured the building. But, Collins took one, sir. He's dead.
Travis stares at him, then walks out of the room. The others follow. Mission status, DZ-5 unrecovered. A small single-engine prop plane is flying through the sky. 3 months later, David Grant, Ph.D., Beckings Research Institute, consultant to U.S. Army Intelligence.
Clear to land, 2 Tango Sierra. Okay, so we're clear to land.
Okay. Okay, what else?
Let's see, I got a 8-knot crosswind coming from the right.
Okay, good. Are you lined up?
Okay, I got the ballpark on the left. There's the interstate.
Good.
And runway 26, and I got 260 on the DEG.
Undercarriage.
Coming out.
Good.
It is is down and locked.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't know. I don't know what. What am I forgetting?
Nothing. Just relaxed. Fly the airplane.
Runway 26 looms below. The plane touches down gently. A billboard reads, "Learn to fly." A helicopter takes off. Frederick Field, Maryland.
Very nice touchdown, David. Very smooth.
Thank you.
I think you got this wired.
I don't know about that.
Just stop here a second. You are more than ready. You've been ready for weeks.
I think it's time to cut the umbilical cord.
I don't know. Are you sure about this?
Come on. I wouldn't let you go if I wouldn't, would I?
Okay, quick, before I change my mind.
Okay, solo time. Just remember, keep it simple. Stick and rudder. Relax and fly the plane.
Got it.
Okay.
The instructor climbs out.
God, why am I doing this?
Grant pushes in the throttle. A truck drives in front of the plane. A woman leans out.
David, phone!
She's from the Beckings Institute.
It's happened!
David nods and waves. Slow motion pictures show shots being fired and a man being kidnapped. A man dressed as a priest fires a gun and a car explodes. A bride and groom look up. A balding man in a bedroom turns around. There's an explosion in the street. The groom grabs the bride and reception guests scatter. The car backs up and the kidnapped man is pushed in. The bride cries. The balding man has a gun and is on a balcony with a man in a white shirt. The kidnapped man looks out the back window of the car as it spins off. The car continues down a narrow street, and the man in the white shirt shoots at it, but the balding man pushes him off balance. The kidnapped man looks back at the balding man, who watches the car drive away.
According to informed sources, El Sayed Jaffa, perhaps the most feared and wanted terrorist in the world, was abducted yesterday afternoon while secretly attending the wedding of his daughter, Nicosia Cyprus. He was then handed over to U.S. authorities, where he was arrested and taken to an American warship at sea in the Mediterranean.
Wire service intel reports.
The woman hands them to Grant.
No one's answering our description of Najee Hassan as one of the casualties. There's no indication he was even there. And I have to admit, you called this one right. Half the Middle East is backing Cyprus, if only in principle.
Grant looks at the reports.
Well, we wanted him, and now we got him.
He looks at the television.
...territorial sovereignty has lodged an emergency protest with the U.N. Security Council...
...and all the baggage that goes with it.
Until this complicated issue is resolved, Jaffa will apparently remain in U.S. custody at Laken Heath, an inglorious end to 15 years of unrestrained world terrorism.
An aerial view of the Parthenon is shown. Athens, Greece, 10 days later, a plane is landing.
Oceanic Flight 343 from Athens to Dulles, Washington is now boarding at gate 13.
Thank you.
Flight attendants greet passengers.
Welcome aboard.
Hi.
Third seat on the right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
A blonde attendant approaches a dark-haired one.
Is that who I think it is? Fresh.
The dark-haired attendant helps a man stow his bag overhead.
There you go.
A woman drops her bag on a man's small black case. His face is not shown.
Stupid woman.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't do it on purpose.
He runs his fingers across a small keyboard inside.
Flight attendants, can we have the signal for departure? Cabin crew, doors to automatic.
Here we go.
A red double-decker bus goes by. London, England. A man in a trench coat walks past two doormen, enters a building, and goes into a restaurant.
Good evening.
Excuse me, sir. May I help you?
Wait.
Sir? Excuse me, sir.
The hostess alerts the maitre d'.
Excuse me, sir. May I help you?
The man turns around slowly.
The Hayat Fal Philistine. Wabushnia. Listen to the sound, Judas, of Altar!
The intruder presses a button and the bombs strapped to his body explode. Meanwhile, in the plane leaving Athens.
Ladies and gentlemen,
gentlemen, this is your captain. You may now remove your seat belts and feel free to move about the cabin if you like. However, when you are seated, please do what we do up front here.
Excuse me.
Leave your seat belts on for safety.
The dark-haired attendant has a shopping bag.
Well, I see you've got the usual load. Who is it this time?
Oh, it's my brother's twins. It's their birthday next week. Hi.
$39,000. Have a pleasant flight. Thank you.
A man with glasses and a gray beard gets a bag out of the overhead bin. A man in a white shirt glances back as the bearded man walks by. The dark-haired attendant holds out a gift-wrapped box.
And...
me? Mm-hmm. Come on, open it.
The blonde-haired attendant opens the present.
Oh, Jamie.
It's a tiny porcelain box.
It's for the ring.
A bride and groom are on top. The man with a beard enters the restroom. The blonde attendant kisses Jeannie's hand.
I'm going to the pit. I'll see you in D.C.
All right, sweetie. Thanks.
The blonde attendant gets in an elevator and Jeannie smiles. Her friend admires the box as she descends. The man in the restroom assembles and loads a gun. He tucks it in the front of his pants. A man in a striped shirt checks his watch, then gets out of his seat and walks down the aisle. The man in the restroom unfolds a newspaper. Inside are some wires connecting an explosive to a detonator. He lays the gun on top and refolds the paper. He exits the restroom, leaving his beard and glasses behind. He's the balding man from the wedding in Cyprus. He hands the newspaper to the man in the striped shirt, who walks back to his seat. The blonde attendant puts foil-wrapped meals in a metal cabinet. She turns around to see a man with a dark beard get out of the elevator. He slams her to the floor, knocking her out. The man in the striped shirt walks past an attendant who's serving drinks.
No, I didn't work.
The man with a beard yanks food trays out of a storage unit and removes a rifle that was hidden behind the trays. The man in the striped shirt attaches the explosive device to the cockpit door. He steps behind another door and detonates it.
What was that?
He enters the cockpit and hits the first officer in the head with his gun. He turns off an overhead switch.
Maintain your course, Captain.
He turns more switches and gives the pilot a sheet of paper.
Reduce your airspeed as indicated. Careful. I am a pilot.
U.S. Embassy, London. A Marine answers a phone call from a man playing a tape recorder into a payphone.
American Embassy.
You have witnessed the conviction of Al-Tan. I have a message for the American President. I am in control of Flight 343.
Sit down! Nobody move!
Several hijackers with rifles take over the plane.
Sit down!
A passenger takes a pistol out and puts it in his boot. Then he puts a wallet with a Marshall Silver Star on it in the magazine pocket in front of him.
Get up. Take up.
The balding hijacker sends an attendant away with another hijacker.
Now calm down. It's over.
Right? It's over.
Washington, D.C. The Capitol building is shown. David Grant and some other men in tuxedos are served martinis.
Yes. Perfect.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Grant takes two drinks and walks toward a woman.
You look like you could use one of these.
Thank you.
David Grant.
Michelle Thomas.
Michelle, you like hockey?
Love it.
All right. I got two tickets.
Excuse me, are you Dr. Grant? You have an urgent phone call.
Grant looks at the woman.
I'll be right back.
On the plane.
Come on. Sit down. Sit.
Jeannie and another attendant sit. Jeannie looks at the manifest hanging on a clipboard and notices that an armed deputy U.S. Air Marshal is on board. The balding man hangs his jacket near the elevator and picks up a wall phone.
I want the attention of everyone on board. Listen carefully. You are to remain in your seats with your belts securely fastened. Do exactly as you are told. And there will be no need for any further violence.
Jeannie stuffs the manifest in a magazine and sits. The balding man looks at the empty clipboard, then at Jeannie.
Where's the passenger manifest? I said, where is the passenger manifest?
I destroyed it.
You destroyed it?
Jeannie stares at him. He looks in the trash can. The attendant next to Jeannie closes her eyes.
To protect the passengers or someone else?
Jeannie stares at him, and he leans down into her face.
That was a very brave thing to do. And totally unnecessary.
Computer monitor reads voice match probability.
Here's all the data you wanted on White Rose. Sorry to spoil your evening, boss.
Yeah, that makes two of us. What do you got?
It's him, no doubt. One from London is recording, one from the plane is live.
It will make today's bombing.
It reads match 98.9%.
This doesn't make sense. What the hell is he up to?
General Wood just called. Briefing with the crisis team. 6 o'clock in the Situation Room. It's 10 minutes.
Pentagon?
Oh, welcome to the big leagues, David.
Sector Fence White is running the show in the president's absence.
You got anything I can change into?
Grateful Dead t-shirt?
I got a jog bra and a pair of running shorts.
Thanks anyway. Keep at it, guys. Don't forget, this is a think tank. They pay us to think. Oh, by the way, who's heading up the anti-terrorist unit?
Oh, Colonel Austin Travis, Special Forces Command. You know him?
Grant looks down and walks away. An aerial view of the Pentagon is shown. The screen reads National Military Command Center. An elevator door opens and Grant walks out looking through a notebook. He looks up and sees Colonel Travis, the leader of the failed Italy operation, walk by in camouflage uniform. Travis shakes his head when he sees Grant wearing a tuxedo.
Set up as kind as you are.
Grant follows Travis and some other officers toward a door. A sergeant stops him.
Excuse me, David Grant.
General Wood speaks.
This was recorded from the aircraft shortly after the bombing.
This is Altar. I have a message for the American president. The London bombing will have indicated the strength of my resolve. I am in control of Flight 343. This aircraft and its passengers shall remain in my custody until Abu Yafa, criminally held against his will, is released from captivity. My instructions are to be followed precisely. No theater, no negotiation. El Said Yafa will be released and taken to Gatwick Airport, where a private jet will be given clearance to land, then allowed to leave with him. Upon the release of our leader, Flight 343 will continue on to Washington, where half the passengers will be exchanged for fuel and 50 million in gold bullion. Abu Yafa must be airborne and in communication with me by 6 a.m. Greenwich, or the citizens of London will suffer another punishment on your behalf that will make today's bombing pale in comparison.
Mr. Grant, this man, Altar, who is he?
Well, voice print analysis confirms that it's Naji Hassan, Yafa's deputy director. He's an extremist in every sense, taken completely at his word. He's not bluffing. But in my opinion...
Thank you. Any other comments?
Well, it seems that our first posture must be one of containment.
You mean acquiesce to Naji's demand?
I don't see the president has any other choice. London is demanding immediate action.
I agree. I hate the idea of conceding anything to that buzzard, but we have to get him on the ground. Then we have some options.
Colonel Travis and his team will be ready to respond once the plane is at Dulles. It means shutting it down, rerouting all traffic, a full military control of the entire area.
Secretary White, excuse me, gentlemen, I don't believe we can allow that plane to land at Dulles or even enter U.S. airspace.
What are you talking about?
Sir, I don't think this is about hostages. I think it's about one man planning a major strike against the United States.
I think you better explain yourself, Mr. Grant.
Our research leads me to believe that due to his own internal political situation, it was Naji Hassan himself who orchestrated Yafa's abduction.
Go on.
6 months ago, a shipment of the nerve toxin DZ5 was hijacked while in transit from Russia to Germany. Now, we're certain the Chechen mafia was behind the hijacking. But unfortunately, recent attempts to recover the nerve gas had failed.
He looks at Travis.
A few days ago, rumors surfaced that the DZ-5 was now in the hands of an Ahmed Rashami, a known supplier of arms and explosives to Yafa's group.
Mr. Grant, are you saying the nerve gas is on board?
Yes, sir, I am. And it's my opinion that Hassan is planning to use the DZ-5 and the airplane together as a tactical weapon, a sort of poor man's atomic bomb to be detonated here, over Washington.
How much of this DZ-5 might he have?
I can't be exact there, sir, but I can tell you this much.
He takes a glass of water.
If this were DZ-5...
He dips a pen in and out of the water.
That single drop would be more than enough to kill every man in this room.
The men stare at him.
And by the way, the name he's using, Altar, in ancient Arabic, means revenge.
On Flight 343, the balding man, Naji Hassan, approaches a man in a suit.
I'd like to welcome you on board, Senator Mavros. The press seems to think you could be the next president. It's an honor to have you with us.
The senator stares at Hassan, who walks away. A clock at the Pentagon reads 6:38.
That plane will be here in less than 8 hours. Seems to me the president has two options. Disregard Mr. Grant's theory and let that plane proceed to the United States, or destroy it before it gets here, along with 406 passengers. Even if we're right, how would we ever prove it?
Colonel Travis whispers to one of the generals.
Colonel, if you have an opinion, let's hear it.
Mr. Secretary, there is another possibility. It's a Hail Mary pass, but Colonel, why don't you tell him what you need?
There's a gentleman named Dennis Cahill who's an engineer for ARPA. I think he could help us. If we could get him on the line ASAP, I think he could tell you what I have in mind.
A computer screen shows an aircraft diagram and a man talking.
Remora was originally developed by ARPA for the space program for supersonic low-orbit link-ups with the shuttle. Although it was never actually implemented by NASA, it has since been modified by the Air Force to study the feasibility of transferring bomber crews at altitude, as well as other, contingencies. We've had 6 actual hookups, all successful.
But this is a civilian airliner. Mr. Cahill, are you telling us that Remora could work in this situation with a 747?
Obviously, this application was never intended for a civilian airliner. However, smooth service mating tests have been successful in a wind tunnel.
A wind tunnel? Colonel, I know you wrote the book on assaulting hijacked aircraft, but this is 5 miles above the Earth.
Well, sir, under the circumstances, I don't think we have any other options.
It's your call.
We're going to have to be airborne in an hour, select team, 6 men, and I'm going to need Mr. Cahill to supervise the link-up.
Mr. Cahill, I'll need you and the Remora to be ready within the hour.
Cahill puts a plastic drinking straw in his mouth.
Gentlemen, the press is already in a feeding frenzy about the hijacking.
Not one word of this operation is to go beyond this room. Colonel, anything you need, name it.
Well, sir, we're going to need all the on-site intel we can get. And I think that Mr. Grant could provide us with a great advantage. And I'd just love to have him come along.
Mr. Grant, you ready to take a plane ride in the interest of national security?
Of course, sir.
Andrews Air Force Base, Maryland. A military helicopter is landing while the counter-terrorist strike team loads supplies onto a service vehicle.
Check it out, boys.
Travis and Grant get out of the helicopter, and the soldiers walk toward them. The soldiers sharply salute Travis, and he salutes back.
Didn't have the details on the op, Colonel, so we brought everything, even the condom.
The soldier looks at Grant in his tuxedo.
What's this, 007?
That's Mr. Grant. He's with intelligence. He'll be traveling with us part of the way.
Part of the way, sir!
I'll explain on the bird. Let's go.
Hangar doors slide open, and Travis leads the 6 soldiers and Grant inside.
So where's the 130?
Sergeant Baker? I reckon that's it.
The Remora is flat on the bottom and comes to a point at the top like a mountain. Grant and the soldiers stare at it. Sergeant Baker shakes his head, then they walk toward him. Cahill comes down a ladder extending from the belly of the Remora.
Colonel, you're joking, right? That's too much gear. You gotta cut it down. We'll never get off the ground.
Gotcha. All right, break it down, boys. Close quarter weapons, comm units, ordnance, sleep agent. Dump the rest.
Yes, sir.
Grant walks toward the Remora and looks it over.
Andrews Ground, Remora Hotel Mike, Hangar 3, taxi for takeoff with information uniform.
This is Andrews Tower, Remora Hotel Mike, taxi runway 8. Section 13, Foxtrot.
Andrews Tower, Remora Hotel Mike, ready for takeoff runway 8.
Good to go, Remora Hotel Mike.
Jets at the back of the Remora glow a bright orange as the dome-shaped craft moves down the runway on its spindly legs. The pilot wears a helmet and oxygen mask. The rescue team sits behind him, facing each other with their backs against the sides of the plane. The sun is setting as the Remora takes off. On flight 343, one of the hijackers adjusts a radio.
It's all hooked up, Nudgee.
Hassan just sits there, and the other hijacker walks away. Jeannie is sitting next to another flight attendant.
Oh, God. Allison's been gone a long time. They wouldn't leave her down there by herself. Something's wrong.
The other attendant nods. A computer screen in the Remora shows a diagram of the 747.
All right, let's go through this. Baker, you're up first. Set up the comm link with the delivery plane in the Pentagon. Grant, you monitor this.
But I stay here on this airplane, right?
That's correct. The Remora will refuel in flight and then set up a trailing pattern behind the 47. You will be in direct contact with us via video and audio. Your assessment on Najee's behavior will be essential to the operation.
I'll do what I can.
All right, now, once we find the bad guys, we're going to look for the DC-5. If we find it, Doc, you're going to tap into the oxygen supply system with the sleep agent. It's lights out. Take the bird. Once we've taken control of the bird and found the DZ-5, we're going to divert. Any problems? Any questions?
No, sir.
E-2 Hawkeye, Eisenhower carrier battle group. On the radar plane, some men track two blips on a radar screen. On the Remora, Travis takes off his headset, gets up, and sits across from Grant. Grant removes his headset. He takes off his bow tie and loosens his collar as they talk.
The safe house in Trieste. That was your intel, wasn't it? Nerve gas was there, Colonel.
Operation was late.
You say so? I just hope your averages improve a little.
If you don't believe me, what are you doing up here?
Who the hell else is gonna do it? You?
On the 747, Hassan approaches Jeannie.
My men are hungry. I want you to see to it.
Food's in the lower galley. I'm gonna have to use the elevator.
All right.
Jeannie and one of the hijackers get off the elevator and see Allison on the floor.
Oh my God. Allison. Allison.
Jeannie lifts Allison's head and sees her glassy eyes and the blood on her neck. She covers her mouth and starts to cry. The Remora flies over the clouds in the orange glow of the setting sun. Cahill points to a computer screen and takes the straw out of his mouth.
Satellite tracking indicates our intercept here. That should give you about 4 hours to complete your mission. Our target is the avionics hatch near the nose of the plane.
He presses some keys on the computer.
As soon as we're locked into position, I'll raise the sleeve. When it's pressurized, I'll open the hatch of the 747. When you're inside, I'll go back up and lock it.
Now, Baker's got to go first. The alarm switch on the hatch has to be neutralized as soon as it's open. Just tell him the procedure.
I can't just tell somebody the procedure. It's not a B-52 with a docking collar up there. It's a 747 without one. Equalization process is critically delicate in this case. If the seal's not at the proper vacuum, both planes could decompress. Our mission's over.
All right, this is what we're gonna do. Baker's gonna fall right behind you. As soon as the hatch is open, you haul inside so Baker can lock off that switch. As soon as we're all on board, you can go down and reseal the hatch.
Colonel, I'll clip your circuit for you from the ladder. There's no reason for me to go in the plane.
That's the way it's gonna be.
You don't understand. I'm an engineer.
That's it!
Target sighted.
Cahill gets up and looks out the pilot's window. The Remora is coming up behind the 747.
Initiating approach.
Travis also looks out the window.
Climbing to flight level 385. Activating Doppler imaging system. Range 1,000 meters and closing. 750, 500, 350. We're entering heavy turbulence, Mr. Cahill.
Just be about 8 to 10 seconds of this, Colonel. You see that path, Colonel? That's the sweet spot. We'll be on it in 2 seconds.
The Remora flies under the 747.
We're ready, Mr. Cahill.
Cahill sits and puts on his headset.
Primary laser targeting.
He looks at the computer screen.
Switch to master and locked. Switching to dorsal camera system.
A monitor shows the underbelly of the 747.
Range to target point, 30 meters. Target point in sight. Call the approach, Mr. Cahill.
Steady. Steady. Left point five. Easy. Easy. You're right on it. You're right on it. Hold it. Right there. Lock.
We have target. Prepare for link up.
Extending the sleeve. Activate.
A sleeve on top of the Remora telescopes up and attaches itself to the avionics hatch on the bottom of the 747. Pilot flips a switch.
We're engaged, Mr. Cahill.
The first officer of the 747 hears a beep. Cahill opens the hatch leading into the sleeve.
Primary tunnel pressurized and stable. I'm going up.
Travis nods and Cahill slides the hatch open. A cold mist blows down on him as he looks up the sleeve. He starts climbing up the ladder.
Baker, do it.
Baker follows Cahill with a clip in his mouth. Cahill shines a light on two vacuum pressure gauges.
See, it looks good.
A light indicates that the pressure is equalized.
We had a stable vacuum.
I'm opening the outer hatch.
Cahill opens the outer hatch. He scrapes frost from the inner hatch handle. When he opens it, a warning light blinks on the 747's control panel. The first officer taps it and looks at the captain.
Was that a short?
A hijacker is with them in the cockpit. Baker hurries Cahill into the 747.
Come on, move it. Come on.
Baker takes the clip out of his mouth and puts it on a sensor in the hatch opening. In the cockpit, the warning light goes out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your turn, Louis.
Sir.
Grant watches Louis scamper up the ladder. The first officer turns to the captain.
A little bumpy.
In the cabin, Hassan is almost knocked off his feet. Below, Louis is thrown against the cliff and it comes off. The hijacker in the cockpit notices the warning light.
What is that light?
That's a warning light. It's for an open outer hatch in the avionics room. That's impossible. The whole plane is pressurized.
Where is this room?
It's below. It's under the first class cabin.
Brad, you're next. Dock the bags.
Hope there's a good movie on this flight.
Brad climbs up.
Cappy
starts up the ladder as Rat reaches the top.
All right, clear. Next. All right, come on, Cappy.
Rat notices that the clip isn't there.
Where's the clip? Did you put the clip in?
It was there.
Well, it ain't there. You're on my blackness, Baker.
Cappy, hold up. We lost the clip.
Cappy pauses on the ladder while Rat looks for the clip. The Remora is swaying underneath the shaky 747.
Let's go. Let's go.
Hassan grabs a gun and goes up some stairs. A tray falls near Genie. Rat finds the clip.
Got it! Come on, you son of...
He shoves it in place.
You see, it went out. It's gotta be a short.
Hassan enters the cockpit.
Why are we not climbing?
Come on, old man, move it!
As Cappy enters the 747, the plane starts to plummet.
What the hell? Winch here!
The soldiers are thrown about in the avionics room of the 747. Cappy falls backward into the sleeve, banging his head on the hatch opening.
Cappy! Climb!
The captain grabs the throttles. Grant looks up the sleeve and sees Cappy hanging down, head first and unconscious.
3-2-0.
What's going on?
We have to break up now. I can't hold the seal.
We need some help up here.
Gotta pull him up, Grant.
Passing through 3-0-0.
Grant, what are you doing?
Let's move it, Colonel. Now.
Grant reaches Cappy.
He's unconscious. All right, get him, move him now. Hey, Cappy, hold on. Red, pull him up.
All right.
Get him out of there. Move it. Get him moving.
Travis starts up the sleeve, and Grant goes around Cappy.
All right. Okay, we got him now. Get out of there, Grant. Move it.
In the cockpit.
Why is he so heavy?
Hold on.
I'm climbing with him. There's too much stress on the sleeve.
The soldiers and Grant pull Cappy up.
We're losing pressure on the pump.
The seals are going. The seals are going. Listen to me. The hatch has got to be closed now or we'll lose both planes. Come on. Colonel, grab my hand.
I can't hold it. Close the hatch. Close the hatch. Lower the sleeve.
Grant and Travis lose their hand grip, and Travis falls down the sleeve.
Listen to me! Someone has got to close the hatch now, or we're all gonna die! Do it, now!
We're losing pressure!
Colonel! We're not gonna make it! You are!
Travis closes the hatch. As the sleeve breaks away from the 747, Travis is sucked out. The Remora hurtles away with pieces of the sleeve breaking off. The pilot ejects as the Remora breaks apart and the airliner climbs smoothly. On the E2 Hawkeye, one of the blips vanishes from the radar screen.
She's gone. Castle Rock, Big I-6, we've lost contact with Hail Mary.
Repeat, we've lost contact.
Big I-6, Castle Rock. Was delivery accomplished?
Castle Rock can't say. Hail Mary was attempting delivery when contact disintegrated.
Did they make it on board? If they did, they'll establish a link with us.
Admiral, where's the fleet?
The Eisenhower carrier group's heading toward an intercept point in the Atlantic.
Have them go to alert.
In the avionics room of the 747, Rat, Louis, Grant, Cahill, and Baker sit silently. Baker looks at Cappy.
Cappy. Well, I'm going to have to check the equipment in the avionics room.
Hassan looks at the first officer.
Show me this room.
There's a depression, a deformity of C7. He's got a fractured vertebrae. We got to immobilize him.
The first officer talks to some passengers.
Can I get you to move over here, please?
Move!
Sorry, man. Okay.
Hang on, Cappy, old dog.
Gran picks up a small circuit board and looks around.
Buddy, you got some morphine here? That's gonna take care of that pain ASAP.
The first officer peels back some carpet and lifts a hatch. The rescue team scurries to hide. A hijacker pushes the officer with his gun.
Hey! Give me a break. If you want to go down there, you go ahead.
Quiet.
The first officer descends into the avionics room through the hatch, while Hassan watches from above. The first officer steps on some glass. He sees the damage done during the turbulence. When he reaches for a lever, Grant grabs his hand and shushes him. He points, and the first officer shines his light on Rat, who lifts a flap on his shirt to reveal the U.S. flag. He sees Cappy lying injured on the floor, and Louie holding a gun. Grant hands him the circuit board and points upward. The first officer takes a deep breath and climbs up the ladder. He shows Hassan the circuit board.
It's a fried circuit. It's an overload of some kind. It happens.
As the first officer hoists himself out of the hatch, Hassan examines the circuit board, and the senator looks around from his seat in first class. When the first officer reaches for the hatch cover, Hassan steps on it. One of the hijackers keeps a gun on the first officer as Hassan peers down into the rescue team's hideout. Sweat is running down the first officer's face. The rescue team waits silently.
Close it.
Sure.
The first officer closes the hatch, and the team members look at each other. Officer returns to the cockpit and puts away the flashlight. The captain looks at his sweaty face.
Everything all right down there?
Huh? Oh, yeah, it's just a pulse circuit. Must have been turbulence.
The hijacker guarding them is sitting behind them, and the first officer exhales slowly. Down below, they've made a neck brace for Cappy and immobilize his head with duct tape. Louie turns to Rat.
Rat, what are we gonna do? Hey, Baker, give me the Pentagon on SATCOM.
Baker looks in a duffel bag.
The radio didn't make it. We have no way of letting him know we're aboard. I think we're all dead.
Shut up, Gail.
No, he's right. As far as they know, we went down with the delivery plane.
The Pentagon is gonna shoot us down.
They look at Grant.
We were their only option.
Listen to me. We have to negotiate. We have to tell Hassan the Pentagon knows his plan, and then he'll never be allowed to reach U.S. airspace.
Gail, calm down.
No. I'm fine. Hassan, I know what I'm talking about here. We have to do this. It's our only chance. And guess what? They have got to listen.
won't stop them.
Cahill looks at the others and starts to climb the ladder. Rand and Rat grab him.
Get your hands off
me. You don't go anywhere, fat boy.
Come on. Sign up for the G.I. Joe Bruce.
Rat pulls a knife.
You don't need to do that. He'll be all right. Hey, Cahill, listen to me. There is no negotiating with Najee Hassan. Do you understand? If he knew we were down here right now, he'd just kill us all. So let's calm down, everybody. Just sit down and relax.
Cahill sits.
So with no way to communicate with Washington, just gonna blow us out of the sky any minute now?
No, they don't know we're not on board either. They'll wait until the last possible second hoping for a break. We've got some time.
Baker, how much time before we hit USS space?
Baker looks at a clipboard.
3 hours and 50 minutes.
What's left of the gear?
Well, we've lost the SATCOM, scanners, sleep agent. We've got maybe half the weapons, probes, mics, nods, bomb kit, that's it.
It's vital you find Hassan. It all centers around him.
All right. Mics and probes first. Hook up Grant to the comm board, see if he can locate his old friend Hassan. Now everything we need is right here. As soon as we locate their positions, we blow the lights and go night optics. We hit them hard, but they're still surprised. All right, come on, let's get started. Look, civilian, we don't even know if there is a bomb. I want to take over this plane. Travis, slow down. I'm trying to do
this to tell you how to do your job, okay? But if that DC-5 is on board, there's going to be a bomb attached to it. You better find it. And once this plane took off, there was going to be no turning back. Hassan would make sure of that.
He's right.
They look down at Cappy.
It could be a pressure switch timer. I mean, if you try to land the plane or change the altitude, anything but set it off, you have to find it before they hit.
All right. We're going to look for what we're setting up. All right, Louis, get the tools and the bomb kits. Come on, let's get started. Tell me what our sound looks like.
No, I can't.
What do you mean you can't? I thought you said you were the world's expert on this guy.
Known photograph of him. It's when he was a student. It was taken over 25 years ago.
Jeez.
But I'd recognize his voice. And I'd know him if I saw him.
Hijacker guarding the cockpit is talking to another terrorist at the door. The first officer leans over to the captain.
I'm telling you, I saw Americans. They're soldiers.
The hijacker returns. Wearing his headset, Rat cuts through some fabric and enters the galley. Looks under a blanket and sees Allison's body. He gets in the elevator. In a baggage compartment, Louis cuts through the tarp of a container and runs a scanner over its contents. Rat unscrews the top of the elevator. In the avionics room, Grant looks at a computer model of the plane and labels some switches. Cappy lies helplessly on the floor and Cahill sits in the corner. The top of the elevator opens and Rat hoists himself up into a crawl space above the cabin of the plane. He's wearing black gloves and a vest with lots of pockets and gear attached. A machine gun hangs from a strap over his shoulder. Fastens a sling to a sliding hook above him. Then, lying back in the sling, he wraps his legs around a horizontal cable and pulls himself along with his arms. He unhooks a bag from his vest. Grant continues labeling switches. Baker, with gear similar to Rat's, is underneath the cabin floor. Rat drills a hole in the ceiling of the plane. Baker drills a hole in the floor. Baker's drill comes up through the carpet about an inch away from one of the hijacker's heels. Baker removes the drill. Brad sticks a probe down into the cabin. Baker attaches a small transmitter and Grant puts an earphone in his ear. Then Baker sticks a probe up through the hole in the floor.
Baker, station one. First class online.
I got you. Go ahead.
Baker peers through an eyepiece, and the tiny probe moves around like a periscope.
Okay, I've got one. First class cabin.
Grant types first class, terrorists, one, on the computer model.
Now another. Scorpions on both of them. There. Neither one is Hassan.
Grant changes the number of terrorists in first class to two. Rat looks through a probe.
I got four in the main cabin, two in the galley, four with 9mm scorpions, two AKM FMCs. I got two more patrolling the rear cabin, also heavily armed.
Grant plots the hijackers in his computer.
Can you hear the two in the mid galley?
Yeah, I hear them.
None of us are men. This isn't working. Meet me in the lower galley.
You put on Cappy's vest.
I'm on my way.
Louis continues slashing and scanning baggage containers. Wearing Cappy's utility vest over his tux shirt, Grant steps into the elevator and Rat whispers down to him.
All right, Grant, clip the cable onto your vest. Okay, now put on your carabiner. All right, I'm going to winch you up.
Grant is hoisted up to the crawl space. With an armed hijacker behind her and Hassan in the aisle in front of her, is serving drinks. Through a probe, Grant sees two hijackers standing near an exit. He sets that probe down and pulls himself along the cable like Rat did. He slips, but steadies himself, suspended above the cabin ceiling. Then he continues inching along the cable. Below, the senator's aide turns to him.
Senator, I think we ought to have a shot. Do you want to get us killed? Senator, I think we're being presented with an incredible opportunity here.
For what?
You know how we always wanted to have a war record for you. Some edge with the media that would put you over the top.
Yeah.
Remember the mileage that Jesse Jackson got when he negotiated the release of those hostages?
Yeah.
Grant looks through another probe.
How about the last one? He's not here. Maybe he's in the cockpit. Okay, come on back. Okay.
He lays the probe down carefully as Rat glances down into the elevator. Louis continues scanning. Grant pulls himself back toward Rat.
Come on, I got you, come on. I got you, come on, it's okay. All right, that's it. You're in. That's it, just keep talking.
You got it.
You got it, now just get your... get your arm over up there.
Grant's foot slips, and he dangles into the elevator shaft. Rat pulls him up, and they look at each other. Grant looks down to see his eyeglasses on the elevator floor.
Thanks. Yeah, come on, let's get the hell down.
Grant puts his shoes on. Meanwhile, in the cargo hold, Louis moves a cardboard box from stacks of identical boxes. Rat lowers Grant into the elevator. In the galley, Jeannie opens a cabinet and coffee filters fall out, knocking a jacket to the floor. She bends down and takes a piece of paper out of a small book. Looking through the elevator window, she sees Grant.
Grant, stop. What's going on?
Grant looks at Jeannie and holds his finger to his lips. Hassan approaches.
I'm sorry, it fell. I was getting coffee filters.
Standing in front of the elevator, she hands Hassan his jacket and he hangs it up.
I don't understand. How does threatening these people have anything to do with your cause, whatever it is?
Perhaps it's not your place to understand.
Hassan answers a wall phone.
I will.
Naji, bat kalil safa nasal nasfotrik.
There's a change. Tell the captain to maintain our course.
I will.
Grant gets a look at Hassan, who hangs up the phone and looks at Jeannie. He starts to walk away, but turns back. Still standing in front of the elevator, Jeannie looks at him.
Excuse me.
He moves Jeannie away from the elevator and opens the door. He steps inside just as Rat pulls up the cable. Rat moves away from the opening in the top. Hassan looks down at a trap door under which Grant is hiding. He closes the door and looks at Jeannie.
I'm keeping you from your work.
He leaves, and Jeannie opens the elevator door. She looks down and up. Everything's normal.
Grant, are you okay? What happened?
Grant, are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, guess who I ran into?
Jeannie unfolds the piece of paper she took from Hassan's jacket. It's a map showing Washington, D.C. as a target. She refolds the map and tucks it into a pocket of the jacket. At the cardboard boxes, Louis' scanner picks up something.
Rat.
Forward baggage compartment. Got something.
All right, I'm on my way.
One of the hijackers escorts the senator to Hassan's seat, where he's reading the book that fell out of his jacket. He removes his glasses.
You wanted to talk to me. I'm sure you're aware that the official U.S. policy is no deals with terrorists, especially in hostage situations.
He crouches next to Hassan.
I can deal directly with the president. If you allow me to conduct the negotiation, I believe I can guarantee all your demands. Money, media exposure, safe passage back to the Middle East.
I understand. You want to be seen as the savior of the hostages. An image that certainly will not hurt you in the coming elections.
As powerful an image as you returning to the Middle East, your mission accomplished.
I can see we're both men who truly understand the importance of making dramatic statements to the world. Rest assured, when the time comes, I will call upon you.
The senator nods. Rat peers into a storage case with a probe.
I guess your theory was right. Now look.
Grant takes the probe, then stops and pulls away a box in front of the case and sees about a dozen gray canisters with wires attached to them.
You can forget Washington. There's enough nerve agent here to wipe out half the eastern seaboard.
At the Pentagon, a man enters the Situation Room.
Israeli intelligence has certainly identified the bomb maker. He's Jean-Paul Demeux.
That's a recent photograph. French Algerian, former nuclear engineer with the Iraqis. He lost his family in the Gulf War. He's been with the Office Group ever since.
That's it?
That's it.
Charles, it's been over an hour and no word from Travis. We're running out of options.
Charles White, the Secretary of Defense, looks at a screen.
There's still time. Better instruct the F-14s to be ready to launch. Issue the press release of the president's decision to free Yaffa. Bastard might be our last avenue of hope.
Gatwick Airport, near London. A small jet taxis to a building where Yaffa is reading a piece of paper in a room with two other men.
We have no means to communicate with him. But he has arranged to contact you at 6:30 as soon as you're airborne. I can assure you that plane will never be allowed to reach the United States.
Yaffa looks up.
If you can convince him to divert the aircraft to an isolated base, release the passengers. He has the word of the President of the United States. He and his men will be given safe passage to a country of his choice.
I will do everything I can in the interests of peace.
Yaffa hands the paper back to him. Aircraft carrier personnel get the F-14s ready to launch. In the avionics room of the 747, Cahill hugs his knees and chews his straw. Campy, on a makeshift stretcher, is lowered to the floor of the baggage compartment.
Sorry, Campy. We got a bad one here.
Okay, so we know we've got DC-5 and binary canisters and 16 pounds of Semtex. Let's take a look inside.
Cappy peers through the probe.
Computer trigger. Microprocessor. Dedicated drive. Probably monitor a dozen sensors. This ain't no pipe bomb, a 6-volt battery.
Grant is also looking through a probe.
Take me closer.
Baker pushes the probe farther into the case.
Stop. Take me in on that. Right there.
What are you looking at?
That long silver cylinder. It's a barometric pressure switch. Activated on takeoff, probably set to airburst during landing. With an isolated trigger. I tell you what, if you can disable the switch, it'll probably buy you some time.
Then we got a chance. We got a chance to shut this thing down, take over the plane, we just landed someplace safe.
All right. Who gets to play with the bomb?
They all look at each other.
About Cahill.
Cahill?
He's a design engineer. If he can build a computer with Cappy's help, take one apart.
All right, Cappy, what do you think?
I think we're looking up the back end of a dead dog, but it's worth a try. But you gotta hurry, because this morphine is kicking in.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Get Cahill in here. Louis, overhead with Cappy. Baker, first class. I'm gonna take the cockpit and business class. We'll go on Cappy's signal. Use channel B through Grant. Keep A open for assault.
Red, I think you got a problem here. I mean, I counted 4 in mid-cabin, but there might be as many as 6. Can you take them all? Well, I could take 3 or 4 at the most, but that's pushing it. We need another gun.
They look at Grant.
What do you want me to do?
They've removed the top of the case, exposing the bomb circuitry. Cahill approaches it. He takes the straw out of his mouth.
Jeepers.
Cappy looks up at him. Cahill sits next to Cappy.
We're doing a simple electronic bypass. Just ignore the rest of it.
Just ignore the rest of it.
If you screw up, you'll never know it. So,
Let's get to it.
Grant is with Rat, holding a rifle and looking up at a closed hatch.
Okay, once more.
Bouchard. Up the ladder. Left in the companionway. I'll have the alert surprise.
That's it, you got it?
Man, that's really not my thing.
Well, don't worry. With that, you can't miss. Just aim straight for his chest and fire. Whatever you do, don't look into his eyes. Okay, then come back down the hall.
Cahill attaches a meter to some wires. Cappy uses a mirror to see what's going on.
Okay, Cahill. Meter reads 15 ohms. That's good. That means it's in parallel and isolated. Now, let's complete the bypass.
Rat, suspended on his back, pulls himself along the cable above the cabin ceiling. He stops at a bulkhead. Cahill uses a laser to burn the insulation coating off of a wire. He burns another wire. He's starting to sweat.
I'll take the red alligator clips and set in the bypass.
Rat opens a door slightly and looks past business class into the cockpit. Louis hooks up to the cable. Cahill attaches the alligator clips to the exposed wires on either side of the barometric pressure switch.
Okay. Now take the red handle dykes. Put the red wire on this side. But don't touch anything else.
Ready, forward section. Louis, sit rep.
Louis. Ready.
Louis clips on night vision goggles.
Baker
clips his on.
Baker up.
Grant.
I'm ready.
Grant grabs the hatch handle. Rat presses a remote control. Cahill gets ready to clip the wire. He closes his eyes and cuts it. Cappy looks at the meter.
Okay.
Cahill buries his face in his hands.
Down with all this.
Thank God.
Rat. Cappy says the bomb is safe.
Okay, the dude's in my sights. I'll blow the lights and be gone my signal.
Rat holds his thumb over the remote control. Suddenly, lights flash on the bomb and Cappy jerks.
Murphy. Cahill, stop them. Stop the hit.
Tell Rat to stop the attack.
Cahill fumbles for his headset.
Rat, stop the hit. Cappy says stop the attack. Stop it now. Everybody hold their positions.
Louis and Baker take off their goggles and Grant steps down.
What's going on?
Cahill hands him his headset.
Someone just ran a program just on the bomb. Whatever it is, he's got an override switch with his finger on the trigger.
Great, can you override it? Cappy, I said, can you override it?
Cappy stops moving.
Cappy. What's going on?
I think we might have lost Cappy. Cappy's dead. I think Cappy's dead.
Cahill, calm down.
I think Cappy might be dead.
I'll be right there.
A screen in the small black case with a keyboard reads, status okay. Whoever's holding the case closes it. Grant enters the baggage compartment and feels for Cappy's pulse.
Cappy's okay, he's just unconscious.
Cahill looks up. Yaffa looks out the window of the small jet A pilot comes out of the cockpit.
Abu Yafa. Ahnat tasanna min aji Hassan.
Yafa picks up a phone.
Naji ama Yafa.
Al-amaliya kanat najaha. Ana hur wa fi ad-diyar.
I am free and in flight. The Americans wish me to tell you they have agreed to all of your demands. You are victorious. Come home.
I rejoice in your freedom, Abu Yafa. Allah has blessed us. A great destiny awaits us both. In a few hours, you will see I have achieved a glorious victory on your behalf.
All the people of Islam will embrace you as its chosen leader. I am your flame. The sword of Allah.
And with it, I will strike deep into the heart of the infidel.
Naji, listen to me. They know. They will destroy the plane, Naji. Listen.
Hassan hangs up. Secretary White bangs his fist on the table.
He cut him off.
Hassan puts down the phone and turns to the other hijackers.
Yafa's free.
The cockpit hijacker keeps his gun on the pilots but goes to the door to join the others. The first officer mumbles to himself.
Down, guys. Anytime.
The captain, the senator, the sky marshal, and Genie look around at the Pentagon.
Tell Admiral Crosby to order the F-14s to intercept the 747. Make the plane divert. I don't care what they have to do. Just do it.
Jack, call the president. It's an executive decision now.
The F-14s take off. On the 747, Grant puts on his headset and listens to the hijackers.
Naji, now that Abu Yafa is free, shall I order the plane to change course back to Algeria?
No.
But why?
Louis and Rat join Grant.
What's going on?
Yafa's been freed. It sounds like the second in command is challenging his size. He wants to know why they're not diverting to Algeria now that Yafa's been released.
Allah has chosen for us a task far greater than Yafa's freedom. We are the true soldiers of Islam. Our destiny is to deliver the vengeance of Allah into the belly of the infidel.
This has nothing to do with Islam. This is not Allah's will. You are blinded by your hatred, and I will have nothing to do with your plan. Our mission was to free Abu Yafa. He's our leader, not you.
Hassan grabs the second in command and slams him into the wall. Hassan shoots him.
What happened?
He just killed one of his own men.
Get back to your post.
The senator grabs his aide.
Son of a bitch. What did you get me into here, huh? What did you get me into?
Well, the others can't know about the bomb. But somebody ran a test. I mean, it's got to be a sleeper. Trigger man. One of the passengers. Other 400 passengers. Could be anyone. It's no way to find him.
Well, we still have the element of surprise. I see with him now, forget about that bomb, and maybe you're gonna get lucky.
Even if you kill them all, the sleeper can still destroy the plane.
Yeah, but at least we'll save Washington. Look, we're out of time. This is the best option we have.
Maybe not. We still got about an hour and 20 minutes. Now listen to me. We gotta give that bomb another try.
Yeah, but you need Cappy for that.
Cahill might be able to figure it out.
Forget it.
If he can neutralize it. And finding the sleeper wouldn't matter.
Yeah, and if he can't neutralize it,
then we gotta find the sleeper. And I think I know who it might be. Can you hook up a probe so that I can see into the main cabin on this monitor? No, we can't transmit between the probe and the monitor.
Would a video camera work?
Yeah.
You got one?
No.
Baggage. We'll find one in baggage.
There's 400 faces up there. Do you expect to check each one?
Not without help.
Grant and Cahill are studying the bomb.
So where's the weak link? How do we pull the teeth on this thing?
Cahill chooses straw.
Come on, Cahill, you're an engineer. Go with your instincts.
He removes the straw.
Cappy's had two power sources. I know this is one. And I'm pretty sure this is the other. Okay, go ahead. If we had our own power supply, we could isolate the bomb's power sources. Much like a heart bypass machine, the bomb will still think it's online.
Along with the sleeper. With no power, no way to detonate. That's brilliant, Gale.
In theory.
Well, at this point, that's all we've got.
Brad hooks up one of the overhead probes to a long cable.
Okay, Cahill, you're the man. Go with your instincts.
Cahill holds his cutters over a wire.
I hope I'm right.
Whatever you do, don't cut that wire.
Cappy comes too.
Cappy.
Grant, we found a camcorder and baggage. We're about ready to try this.
Yeah, be right there.
Where are you going? You can't leave me now.
You don't need me. You got Cappy. What if it passes out again? If things really get desperate, use your magic wand.
Grant takes the straw out of Cahill's mouth. Baker and Louie hook up the camcorder and show it to Grant.
Okay, I got the power.
Have the cable down the backside elevator shaft. You'll never see it.
The camcorder shows Jeannie in the galley.
Oh, yeah. All right, now for the hard part.
Let's try this.
This is the button for the call light.
I bypassed the buzzer.
That's how she sees it.
Wait, hold on a second. Wait a minute. Why her? What makes you think you can trust her?
When I was in the elevator, she saw me right when Hassan walked in.
What?
Oh, God. No, wait. She was cold. She covered me. She'll do this. I know it.
All right. I just hope you have better luck with women than I do.
Grant blinks the call light on the wall phone. Jeannie notices it.
Come on, pick it up. Pick it up.
Jeannie looks around and picks up the phone.
I'm watching you on video, behind you, above the bulkhead.
She looks into the probe camera.
There you go. We met in the elevator, remember? American soldiers are on board, ready to take over the plane. But there's a bomb. One of the passengers in direct control of it. We need your help to find him. You're looking for a man with an electronic device. He's probably a...
Hassan, it's Jeannie.
Sorry. Thought the phone rang.
Hassan holds the receiver to his ear as Grant and the others watch. He hangs it up and pulls a gun on Jeannie. Hassan leaves.
Come on, hang in there now. Hang in there.
She's had it. Forget it, Grant.
Louie nods.
Look at her, she's shaking. She's not gonna do it.
Wait a minute.
Jeannie looks up at the camera and nods.
All right, ladies, the player boy, she's with us.
Okay. All right, come on, Louis, get in position. We'll get upstairs and watch her. If she fingers somebody, we're gonna have to move fast. Come on.
Jeannie is handing out magazines and newspapers. She places a USA Today in front of the Sky Marshal and points to a picture of some soldiers.
They're here.
She keeps walking as he looks up. At the Pentagon.
Oceanic flight 343, approximately 120 miles, failsafe line.
I've just spoken to the president. He concurs. If we can't make them divert, we have no other option.
The F-14 should intercept in approximately 15 minutes.
We're not really going to shoot this plane down, are we? Whatever evidence there is will go straight to the bottom of the Atlantic.
The president would be finished. He'd never recover. 400 American lives. Check, we'd all be finished. The whole administration.
On the 747, Jeannie casually observes the passengers as an armed hijacker patrols the aisles.
Miss, may I have some water for my medication?
Diabetes.
Oh, dear.
As Jeannie bends to retrieve the pills, she sees a man's hands next to the woman hide the small black case.
Super Zoe, what are you doing?
I was just getting her medication.
She hands the pill bottle to the hijacker. He looks at it, then gives it back to her.
Can I go get her some water?
Go!
Jeannie looks up to check the seat number. The man and woman are in row 21. She returns to the galley. Grant and Baker watch her right on her palm.
That's it. You got something, don't you?
She holds her palm up to the camera. But before Grant can read it, a hijacker walks by and she pretends to scratch her head.
Not long enough. One something B, did you get it?
No, it was too quick.
She'll give it to us again if she has to.
The hijacker leaves.
Here she comes.
She holds up her palm. It says 21K.
21K.
21K!
F-14 fighter jets are headed for the 747.
Slap flight, this is Lee. Contact 039 at 125. Come left 015 for collision.
Freeze contact at Concur, Angels 44.
Baker looks at a notebook while Grant puts on his headset.
Grant, go ahead. Brad, she's found something. 21K.
Midsection.
It's coming. Midsection.
Starboard side.
Window seat.
Roger. I'm on my way.
Cahill bites a straw. His hand is shaking as he holds the laser over the bomb.
Eric, you can't do it.
He loosens his tie.
I can't breathe.
Okay, Cahill, just relax. I'm right here. Close your eyes.
Why am I closing my eyes?
Just close your eyes.
He closes his eyes.
Take a deep breath. Now, open your eyes and cut the blue wire.
Cahill moves the laser toward a bundle of wires. He jerks and several wires are cut. With his mirror, Cappy looks at the cut wires.
It's a decoy! It's a decoy! The whole thing's a fake. The real works must be down below under the plate.
What the hell is happening? What is going on?
I'm sorry. It's just after we've been screwing around with the whole thing, just blow up!
Speak English.
I screwed up! We have to start over.
The F-14s are getting closer as Rat peers through a probe into the midsection of the plane.
Grant, I'm there.
If it's Damu, he's about 50, olive skin, dark hair, slightly balding.
It could be. I can't see him clearly. I can't even get a clean shot. What about you, Louis?
Well, his back is to me. But he fits the description.
Damu, it has to be.
Can you take him?
Not a chance. He's blocked by the seats. There's passengers all around him.
The F-14s zoom in front of the 747.
Where'd they come from?
I don't know.
The cockpit hijacker calls Hassan.
Iwan.
Naji, fighter planes.
Land, strike one's tally-ho, assuming position for escort.
Kulel Tayar, Ana Atlu Makalim at Washington.
Iwa.
Oceanic Flight 343, this is Flight Leader U.S. Navy Aircraft. You are approaching United States airspace. You are to divert heading 020. Next vector for Thule Air Force Base. Divert, steer 020. Squawk 7500 to acknowledge.
Grant picks up his earphone.
Oceanic Flight 343, this is Flight Leader U.S. Navy Aircraft.
The first officer looks at the captain. United
States Son airspace. Of a...
Divert 020. Thule Air Force Base. You must divert 020.
Rep, Navy jets ordering us to divert. We must be closer to the failsafe than we thought.
Then we've had.
They're here to shoot us down. No, we've got to signal them somehow. Gotta be a way. Come on, think. Think.
Vector 020. Thule Air Force Base and acknowledge. Oceanic Flight 343. On guard. Turn right. 020.
Got yourself, Cap.
Oceanic, look out your left window. This is U.S. Navy Flight Lead. Show me a sign that you understand.
Jeez Louise, what the hell are they doing?
They're getting ready to light us up.
Hassan peers over the pilot's shoulders. Meanwhile, Baker removes a control panel.
All right, take that little left clip. I got it. Okay, I got it. 77.
Cahill is working on the bomb.
Now.
He lifts off a metal disc and reveals two metal cones aimed at each other.
Looks clear, but we're gonna need something non-metallic to slip between those points.
Cahill rummages through a bag.
Cahill.
He looks at himself in Cappy's mirror and takes the plastic straw out of his mouth. They smile.
Flap light, this is lead. I'm gonna pull out in front.
Hassan and the pilots watch the F-14 fly in front of them. In the baggage compartment.
Okay. What are we missing here?
I'm thinking the same thing.
The sphere is cold.
All right, in my green bag is a can of compressed air. Give it a shot.
Cahill sprays the cones with compressed air. In the mist, they can see crisscrossing laser-like photoelectric beams.
Cahill. In my kit, infrared goggles.
Cahill looks at the cones through the goggles and can see the web of photoelectric beams.
Jiminy Cricket. We're finished.
One more time, Oceanic Flight 343. Come right, 020 Thule Air Force Base. Follow
me. Give me motion.
It is very important that you follow me, sir. You must follow me. Captain, please acknowledge.
This is Alta. Why are we being threatened? I told you my terms are absolute. The hostages will be released once we have landed in Washington. No compromises.
This is Secretary of Defense Charles White. You must listen to me. We know
you know nothing.
Tell your president that he will comply or suffer the blood of many Americans on this plane.
A hijacker brings the senator to the cockpit.
It's time, Senator.
Hello. Hello, are you there? Can you hear me? Hello.
The senator puts on Hassan's headset.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, hello. This is Senator Mavros. I'd like to speak to the president, please.
Senator, the
president is out of the country. I'm speaking on his behalf.
I don't care where he is. I want to speak to him right now. You got that?
Senator, I'm in charge of the crisis team.
No. Oh, no. They have a gun to my head. Please, just do what they want. Please. Please, just do what they want.
You just killed Mavros.
Grant, whatever you're going to do, you better do it now.
Grant motions to Baker to get back to work on the control panel.
Now listen to me. This plane will continue on as planned. Any further threats will result in a passenger being killed every minute.
There are only 25 miles to the failsafe line.
Secretary White stands and walks to the screen.
We have to end this now.
A pilot's screen reads, ordered immediate destruction of target 343.
Bull, NAVCOM flash on the CRN 115, National Command Authority. We're ordered to destroy the target.
Strike Slap 1, stand by for Fox 1 for lead. Spider, I'm going master arm on.
Baker holds clippers over some wires.
Do it.
He cuts them.
Slap flight, this is lead. We have a full lock on the heavy at 290.
Bull takes his finger off the trigger.
The guy's taillights are flashing.
Baker is touching wires together.
God, I hope I'm not going too fast. Nobody uses Morse code anymore, except Navy pilots. Keep sending it.
Spider, is that what I think it is? Right. Strike, this is Slap 1. We have visual communication from the target. Seems to be Morse code coming from the nav lights. I'm a bit rusty, but according to my supplement, the message appears to be Hail Mary, Alpha 1, 10 minutes. Message repeats, over.
Alpha 1, that's the attack code.
You mean they made it? They're on board?
They're gonna try and take her.
It's too late. They've already crossed the line.
By God, if they're on board, we're gonna give them another 10 minutes.
This is Navy Flight Leader Victor 5. Repeat, Flight 343. This is Navy Flight Leader Victor 5. Alpha 1, you have 10 minutes to U.S. airspace. Repeat, Alpha 1, you have 10 minutes to U.S. airspace. You have permission to resume and land at Dulles International Airport. Good luck, sir.
Jeez, they got it. They got it? They got it! How'd I take back every rust picket, squid-hating thing I've ever said about swabbies?
Ahmed.
Hassan hands the headset to the cockpit hijacker.
Monitor the radio. No contact.
Rat, we got a break.
Command gave us 10 minutes.
All right, we'll take the sleeper first. It's got to be by total surprise, Rat. A Cappy's almost there in the bomb. Can you give it a few more minutes?
Grant, we're out of time. Look, we just go, blow out the lights, and we take our chances.
5 minutes, Rat. They'll have the bomb defused by then. I know it. Now give it 5 minutes.
Grant looks at Baker.
Rat, give him the 5 minutes.
Rat, I agree.
All right, Grant. 5 minutes starting now.
Baker, get into position. Louis, stand by.
Cahill guides the straw between the photoelectric beams. Grant changes channels on his headset.
All right, Cappy. We've only got 5 minutes. How you doing?
Grant, where the hell have you been? The sphere is filled with photoelectric beams. It's going to take us not longer than 5 minutes.
Grant tilts his head back.
Grant, come in.
Just do the best you can.
Grant lets his head lean over to the side, then seems to get an idea. Jeannie sees the light flashing on the wall phone. She unfastens her seatbelt. The attendant next to her mouths, "Oh no, Jeannie," and Jeannie whispers, "I have to." She stands and creeps toward the galley. Grant sees her. she looks behind her, closes her eyes, and picks up the phone.
Jan, you've been fantastic. But I need your help one more time. Lower galley. Turn around, get in the elevator right now. Go.
Okay.
She hangs up the phone and gets in the elevator. Grant picks up a gun.
They'll be starting their descent in 10 minutes.
I know, Jack, I know.
Radar confirmation. Oceanic flight number 343, now at 25-mile limit.
Jeannie gets out of the elevator. Grant, wearing a sweatshirt, is behind her with the gun. The marshal comes out of the restroom. Jeannie mouths to him, "It's okay." He closes the door and walks down the aisle. Jeannie and Grant enter the cabin.
Just keep walking.
Louis sees them through the probe.
Grant, it's Grant.
He's down below in my cabin.
What? I push him down. Hit the floor and stay down.
He's going for the sleeper. That stupid son of a...
Brett gets ready to turn out the lights.
Louis, they want your signal.
Grant pushes Jeannie down and points a gun at the sleeper. It's not Damu. Grant grabs the black case and loose diamonds fall out.
Something's wrong.
It's not him.
Grant looks frantically around the cabin. He spots Damu, who opens his case and begins pressing keys.
Everybody down!
Grant shoots at Damu. He drops the case but retrieves it. Hassan aims for Grant, but the marshal shoots Hassan. A hijacker shoots the marshal. Grant sees Damu pressing keys and leaps over several rows of passengers. The case falls on the floor.
He's got Damu. All the lights.
The lights go out as Grant and Damu scramble for the case. Grant grabs it as the rescue team enters wearing night vision goggles. Damu fights for the case and Grant drops it. Baker shoots a hijacker. Damu grabs the case. Grant tries to crawl toward him, but his foot is caught in a food cart. Louis comes down through a hole in the ceiling.
It's the sleeper!
Louis shoots Damu, and Grant reaches for the case. Its screen reads, status, armed. The injured Damu reaches for the enter button. Grant strains to grab Damu's little finger. Damu presses enter just as Cahill slips the straw between the cones. Grant grabs the case. It reads, detonating. Hijacker enters and shoots a machine gun. Louis shoots him. A window is broken and a hole is blown out the side of the plane, sucking passengers out. Oxygen masks drop from the ceiling. Damu is sucked out. The captain struggles to control the plane. Campy's stretcher slides across the floor. The shaking causes the straw to slip. Baker falls down. Louis hangs on. Jeannie grabs the marshal. Campy reaches for the straw. Grant tries to keep from being sucked out. The plane is losing altitude.
Cahill! I can't hold it!
Cahill reaches over Campy and pushes the straw back in place. And removes his oxygen mask.
Come in, Dulles.
Dulles,
This is Oceanic 343 Heavy requesting emergency landing. We are low on fuel. We have structural damage, but we are stable and in control.
343 Heavy, this is Dulles. You're cleared for an emergency landing. 1L North. Crash crew standing by.
Roger.
1L North. They're in control.
Hassan, his back covered in blood, staggers up the stairs to the business class cabin where Rat stands and starts for the cockpit. Hassan shoots Rat in the back, then stands over him. Blood is running from his nose and his white shirt is splattered with red. Grant makes his way over to Baker.
Bomb! About the bomb!
Listen to this.
Baker hands him his headset. Cahill and Cappy are lying on the floor laughing.
Jeez.
You
gotta tell Washington.
Grant leaves. Baker looks at Louie.
You okay?
Yeah.
Grant runs up the stairs and sees Rat lying face down on the floor. He looks up and sees Hassan at the closed cockpit door pointing his gun at him.
It's over.
Over? It's not over.
Grant holds up the case.
It's over.
Who are you?
No one.
You're very clever. But you're too late. You've stopped nothing.
Hassan shoots his gun around the cabin and toward the cockpit. A soda can rolls up the aisle, and Brad raises his head and shoots Hassan, who slumps to the floor. Grant runs to the cockpit. The captain is slumped over the controls.
Hazmat 1, Hazmat 1, we've got Dulles, Yank 343 Heavy coming in. Dulles, 1L North, you coming?
Grant drags the captain out of his seat and takes his place. He puts on the captain's headset.
Dulles International, this is Flight 343. The airplane is secure, but both pilots are dead. Request help.
Flight 343, you're breaking up. We don't read you. You're clear to land on runway 1L North.
Dulles, I need help. I need instruction. And I'm sitting on a bomb that could detonate on impact.
Flight 343, you're breaking up.
Receiving.
He throws the headset aside.
Okay, get a hold of him now. Get a hold of this plane.
An attendant takes care of the marshal, and Jeannie comforts a little girl.
It's all right. I'll be okay.
Jeannie enters the cockpit and sees Grant at the controls.
Oh, my God. Are you a pilot?
You gotta help me here. I've had a few lessons, but never really saw it.
Okay, all right. We're probably lined up for landing. There it is. There's the airport. Right out there, see it?
Okay, I got it. All right. All right, pilot's operating handbook. That's what I need. Right over there, probably. Pilot's operating handbook.
Okay, I don't see it. What does it look like?
Something that says flight manual.
Flight manual.
Right back there.
Flight manual.
In the back.
Flight manual. Okay, I got it.
Wait.
Flight manual. Okay. What should I look for?
The normal procedures, landing approach speeds.
Approach speeds. Okay, here it is. I got it.
What does it say for final approach speeds?
Final approach speeds, okay. Over 600,000 pounds, 150 knots. Under 400,000 pounds, 120 knots.
Split it, 140 knots, all right. We're doing 220 knots. Reduce power. Nose down.
Oh my God.
170 knots. It's getting loose. I'm losing control of the airplane. What's wrong? Flaps! How much flaps can I put in? 170 knots.
Flaps, 170 knots, any amount of flaps you want.
Damn it. There it is, two, three. 160. There we go. 150. 140. 130.
The plane starts vibrating.
Oh. What the hell? I'm gonna stall.
He looks at the shattered glass on some of the gauges.
I'm stalling. Power. Power up.
He pushes the throttles forward.
140. 150 knots. There we go.
He and Jeannie look up.
Wait a minute.
He pulls down a lever next to a broken gauge.
Okay.
The plane is pointed toward the runway.
All right, here we go. We're going to land.
Hazmat trucks and police cars wait near the landing strip.
We're long.
Firemen look at each other.
Come on, let's go. I missed it. I missed it. I'm over. Power up. I'm climbing. Come on.
The plane gains altitude.
Oh, gear up.
He moves the landing gear lever back up.
All right. Now what do I do?
You're gonna have to turn around for another approach.
I can't handle the airplane. I can't turn around.
Yes, you can.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me think.
Hold it.
Wait a minute. That's the interstate.
There's the ballpark. Frederick Field's got to be ahead. It's my airport. I know where I am. I can do this.
All right. Line it up for 26. There it is. There it is. All right, now, reduce power. All right, here we go. Power back. Landing gear down. And airspeed, 140 knots. All right, think. What am I forgetting?
Who cares? Just fly the plane.
Right, I can do this. Okay. Fly the plane. I can do this.
The passengers have their heads down. Some are holding hands. Touchdown and Cavi is jolted.
Jeez, I'm down.
The front wheels hit the runway and boxes tumble around the baggage compartment near the bomb.
Hold on.
The plane's wings slice across the tops of smaller parked planes, causing fires and explosions near the Learn to Fly billboard. They're almost to the end of the runway. Sweat pours off of Grant as he tries to stop the plane. A fire burns on a wing where there used to be an engine. Down runway approach lights and plows into a bank of sand, and passengers are knocked forward. Finally, the plane stops in a cloud of dust. The passengers sit up. Yes. Grant looks at Jeannie.
Things almost land themselves, don't they?
She smiles weakly and holds her head. Later, she helps passengers board a bus.
Oh, thank you, dear. You got it.
Master Avionics is in first line.
As the bomb squad truck drives away, Grant puts on his tuxedo jacket.
Hey, Hill. I don't know how you did it, but you did it.
No, you did it.
He holds up a straw with one end flattened.
What do you mean? What is this?
That's a little memento for it. Listen, I'll tell you all about it another time. Right now, I need a drink. A big drink.
Grant grins as Cahill walks away. Soldiers load Cappy into a truck.
Easy with that.
All right. Take him up.
You'll be okay, Cappy.
Hold it. Hey, guys.
Baker, Rat, Louie, and Cappy look at Grant. Rat salutes, and Grant smiles back with a casual salute. As he watches them climb into the military ambulance truck, Jeannie walks up.
It's Jean.
Hi. What?
You called me Jan on the plane. My name is Jean.
He smiles.
Who are you?
A car drives up.
Dr. Gregg. Agent Perry, FBI. You're wanted at the Pentagon, sir.
Forget it. Sorry I asked.
Wait, Jean, wait a minute.
She turns around.
Can I buy you a cup of coffee?
She walks toward him.
As long as you're not flying.
No problem.
He opens the car door for her. He takes the blanket from around her shoulders and she gets inside. He looks at the airplane one more time, then joins her.
So, Jean, tell me something. Do you like hockey?
Hockey? No, I only like baseball.
It's very nice to go traveling to Paris, London, and Rome. It's oh so nice to go traveling, but it's so much nicer. Yes, it's so much nicer to come home.
Narrative script written by Nancy Bizjack.